Welcome in! Latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Brennan. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'm surprised we caught you. Between this and the golfing, I don't know how you got time for this show.
I bet a lot of people are surprised. They were expecting the smart one. Not so fast, my friend. Got the dumb one today. But yeah, it's been a busy week. Been a busy weekend. Went to Dollywood yesterday. So shut down the cinnamon bread factory for a little bit. So they're working double time to catch up. And but it was pretty cool, man. I always like going over there. Dolly's done a lot for our community. And by gosh, Mike, I got 15,000 steps in. So I don't care how much cinnamon bread I had. That one right there, I think I evened out. So it was a very active day. And then I got home and I was like, you know what? I've got time for 9 holes. Mike gave me the day off. I think I'm going to take advantage of it. Went over to the course and got 9 holes in.
Wow. So yeah, may I say, Shane, you're looking pretty trim. Considering you had the cinnamon, I mean, did you deflate since then or what?
Yeah. I took a lot of Benadryl this morning, took an EpiPen. We're all good. You know, it's kind of a, cinnamon's a weird thing. It's like, it's a hit or miss, like Russian roulette. And I didn't get hit. So I was grateful for that. But all in all, like I said, it was a great, great time. And thank you for the weight loss comment. I'm down 56 pounds. People saw my photo yesterday, and it's funny because sometimes you'll catch some strays, you know, like they don't know who this guy is. And they're like, who's this fat bastard? You know? And I'm like, hey, geez, you should have seen me last month. You know, if you think this picture is bad.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I'm just surprised. I mean, because normally when you have some cinnamon, I mean,
yeah,
you come rolling into this damn thing.
You would know my damn eye would be swollen. My lip would be fat, something like that. You know, when I was growing up, that was a thing. I had no idea what it was, or I just kind of knew it was going to happen. And sometimes you feel like this little, like the lip was the worst, especially when you're in high school. You know how mean kids are.
Yeah.
So I'd start feeling this like little spot right here, you know, inside my lip. And it's like maybe a little knot or something. I'm like, oh, my God. So then you just kind of start hiding it, you know. But the problem is you're putting more pressure on it. So it gets worse and worse. So all day I'm just right there. So my bottom lip, you can't see it, but man, it gets done. It looks like, you know, a Bubba Gump, you know, when I get there, I'm talking about shrimp stuff. So yes, I've had some horror stories, and for a kid, believe it or not, you think as many pods as I've missed, I had perfect attendance all through school. And never missed. And even if I had the damn face, I would be in there anyway.
Mm. All right. Well, hey, and you kind of alluded to this. Let's be transparent with the audience here. Steven, yeah. Usually Monday nights, but I can't really get into why he's not here, but he will be. Hopefully. Oh, yeah. I think the game plan is going to be Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And it's
again, a good one.
Yeah. I don't want to, again, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say, but it's
special.
It's special. And it's one Steven and I do it every year. And it's our most viewed podcast, yeah. Between Steven and I that we do all year. So be, you know, fingers crossed that still happens on Wednesday. And we got the SEC spring meetings coming up. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be down there. I'm going to be trying to do all kinds of fun content down there. And if you missed it on the channel, we've had Jake Wimberly,
yeah,
on over the weekend on Friday. We had Ty Richardson on Sunday. So don't watch those right this second. But when this is over, go check those out. The channel's absolutely loaded for the middle of May. You know what?
Yes. And that's why those notifications are important. So hit those, the subscribe button, the thumbs up. I know it's a pain in the ass just to minimize this thing and hit the thumbs up. But man, it really helped. Like, you don't have to be a cousin. Just hit the thumbs up. It's awesome. So yeah, anything like that absolutely helps.
Hey, check this out, Shane.
Well, yeah. Apparently, Horton couldn't hear you, so he's gifting you a membership. Well, apparently, Horton couldn't hear you.
Oh, thank you,
so
cuz.
He's gifting you a membership.
Yeah, appreciate you. So Horton hears you. He's just gifted a membership, Shane. I'm trying to see to who here. Da-da-da-da-da. Looks like Sooner for Life. Welcome
to the family.
Courtesy Horton hears you.
Welcome to the family.
That's pretty bad when a Longhorn's gifting a Sooner. You know what? They must really feel bad for Oklahoma right now.
I don't like they're trying to pull that one back. Horton is, you know. It's like.
All right. So here's the show topic, Shane. Again, slow time. I'm picking my brain. I'm trying to see what in the world can we talk about? It seems like every week somebody wants to fire somebody. They want to know who's on the hot seat. I mean, it's quite literally our favorite topic. And, you know, people like Paul Feinbaum said, we trying to get half the conference fired, which is kind of true. So I thought, what better topic, Shane, than to hit on the 10 games that are the biggest hot seat games that are going to be on the calendar next season. So this is exclude. This is not like every year you got to win it. Yeah. This is 2025. You better win it. Otherwise, your ass could be grass. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I was afraid the show topic. I thought you're going to let everybody know you're letting me go. And this is about college football. This is a pivotal year. Coming off a year where we didn't have any head coaches let go. I mean, if you've been a fan long enough, you kind of know how this game's played. And it feels like, you know, we've talked about how warm some of these seats are, but I really think 2025 is going to be a great year for some teams, and it's going to be a really bad year for some of these coaches.
Yep. Hey, shout out Jeez Louise for reminding me here. Quick, you know, I just want to give a tribute, Shane. I don't know if you saw the news, but the famous Feinbaum caller, Larry, who...
Yes.
I have gotten into public feuds, I guess you could call it. And they've even had me call into the show and battle Larry from Shelby live on the show on multiple occasions. But sad news, Shane, as Larry has reportedly passed. So, quite literally my favorite Feinbaum caller. And wouldn't you know it, Shane, he knew more about SEC football than I did because I was wrong every time I bet him.
Yeah, I know he knew you, man. So I hate to hear that. I know that's quite a family they've created there on the Feinbaum show. So, and I know several on that SEC podcast. So, yes, a lot of thoughts and prayers for the family, and not to mention, you know, some of them victims in Kentucky. You know, we had some bad storms come through, and I tell you, I was telling Mike, power went out over here at the house 2 a.m, and not a huge deal. But I'm on a CPAP. It's like life support, you know? So I thought I was a goner, you know? And every time I'd go to fall back asleep, my wife would yell at me because then I'd start snoring, you know? So I took a pillow, went out to the living room, and that's how I crashed. But I tell you what, a lot of folks on here, you know somebody that got it a lot worse. And so again, thoughts and prayers from the podcast. We know, I mean, ever since Oklahoma joined, I've been watching these tornadoes left and right.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane. So into the top 10 games, hot seat, and I even have them ranked, but I want to clarify because like shout out cousin Robert. He says Missouri versus Kansas, Eli Drinkwitz better not lose that game. I understand that. I understand how important that game is. And absolutely. It's a home game. Haven't played it in a while. He better not lose. Right.
Right.
But are we going to fire Drink week 3 of the season if he loses to Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a shot in hell, even if Kansas wins by like 50 points.
Yeah.
Now he may lose some fans, but I'm trying to, that's kind of how I'm really trying to do this. Shane is like, buddy, you lose this one. Buddy, either they're going to fire you or it's, you know, you're going to be fired here in a couple weeks. You know
right.
what I mean?
So yes.
I don't think Drake is anywhere close to hot seat, and I don't even think cousin Robert thinks that, but I understand there's many games where we could look at and say, buddy, you can't lose this one. You know what I mean? But it doesn't quite rise to that level for me.
Right. And also I guess you kind of hinted at it there, weeding out the games you obviously shouldn't lose, you know, an App State or a, you know, ETSU or one of those games. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're not considering those. You're considering legitimate football games that, honestly, this team should not lose.
Yeah, and cousin Mike, he's a Sooner, Shane?
Yeah.
Fire his ass. all right, so here's the list, Shane.
Yes.
Number 10. Georgia versus Austin Peay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But again, that's another one where I wanted to throw out there. Yes, if Georgia's, it would never happen in a million years. Mm-hmm. But if they lost to Austin Peay, I don't. Yeah, that is inexcusable. But they're not going to turn around and fire Kirby Smart, right?
Right.
So I just say that to say some of these coaches are not going to get mentioned because they're so far from the hot seat. Does that make sense?
Correct. Yes.
All right. So the real. And I kind of cheated. You know how I like to cheat here, Shane. Yeah. I said 10 games, but I really couldn't narrow it down. So I got 11.
Okay.
So number 10 is a tie. I got two A&M games on here. And right. And again, I'm cheating because it's two, and I'm also cheating because I don't really think Mike Elko is anywhere near the hot seat. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
But how does he get his ass on a hot seat, Shane? I'll tell you right now. September 27th. Auburn comes to town, a team you lost to year one. Every coach is supposed to be better in year two, right?
Yes.
Auburn, September 27th, at home. If A&M's losing that, again, are they going to turn around and fire Coach Mike Elko? I don't think there's a shot in hell. Because Auburn could be really, you love Auburn. Auburn could be really good. But you simply cannot lose games like that, I think. Otherwise, it's like, man, what do we got here in Coach Elko? You know, it seems like these are the teams. So I'm saying Auburn, but I'm also, Shane, saying November 15th, South Carolina, that whooped you last year.
Yeah.
And really started the backslide. That was on the road, Willie B at night, one of the most difficult places to play in college football. But if you're losing to South Carolina 2 years in a row, in your first 2 years as a Texas A&M coach, Texas A&M has absolutely owned South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Auburn and South Carolina. I think both of these games, again, are we going to fire Elko the next week? Probably not. But if he's, particularly if he's losing to South Carolina,
yeah,
that tells me he's probably already lost to LSU on the road.
Right.
He's probably going to lose to Texas here in a couple weeks on the road. And he's probably even lost at Missouri. I mean, that not a given, but just imagine that scenario, Shane. LSU, Mizzou, South Carolina, Texas. If those are all losses,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sold that Coach Elko's back for year three. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it puts you on. That's the thing. I think it puts you on the spot.
Yeah.
It would be tough for me to fire Elko short of him just going 2-10 or something crazy. You know, I feel like he does have a little job security. But let's not sugarcoat it. We're all going to have that seed of doubt. We already have it, I think, at the end of year one. But, you know, the bounce back, the year two growth, you know, the future of this program. It's like we were so excited at A&M last year just because how they started. But how they ended is what we talked about Elko here. So, you know, if they lose Notre Dame and Auburn back to back, starting out the season 2-2, you know, we're not even into October yet.
Yeah.
That ruins a lot of hope. And I think that's good placement, especially right after a bye at home. There's not one single soul down there expecting to lose that game. And if they do, then all of a sudden there's that little seed of doubt. The only one I would also possibly mention is the Arkansas game, just because you kind of owned their ass for so long, and it's now not in Jerry's world. So you go up there, Arkansas, you know, I'm not expecting them to be a championship team, but that's another one that A&M fans just got so used to winning that if you lost that game, I would also consider. So let's just have three 11s there. Let's just tie it up.
Right. And he's number 10 because I don't realistically think he's anywhere near the hot seat.
Yeah.
Right. So as we go down this list, I think these are guys that simply cannot afford, like if Coach Elko loses to Auburn, it's not going to ruin the season.
Right.
If Coach Elko loses to South Carolina, probably not a great season, but it's probably not going to kill you either.
Yeah.
Particularly if you turn around and beat Texas. If you beat Texas and Austin, you can lose every other damn game. They won't be happy, but they'll be like, all right, you know, we ended on a high note. You know what I mean? So there's opportunities for him to make it up. But I just think if A&M, again, we had Jake Wimberly on. Go check it out. Predicts 10 wins for A&M. You're nowhere near 10 wins if you're losing to Auburn at home, South Carolina at home. And probably even, like you said, at Arkansas, even though it is on the road.
Some great questions. Let me ask you, since we're on this one, like, what do you feel like is the sweet spot? It always felt like 3 years was it. 3 years was kind of that, you know, I think I want to give a shout out to Benny here. I think every coach should have 3 years to show improvement and growth. Does that change team by team or, you know, does that change? I mean, what's A&M's threshold? Is it 3 years or is it a travesty in 2 years? What is kind of the, what would get Elko in trouble?
I mean, I think at A&M, I think you get a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, it took them two seasons too long to fire Jimbo's ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember how angry they used to always get at Mischa for saying Jimbo can't coach worth a damn. We need to get his ass out of here. And they, you know, that I just hate A&M. I hate their culture. I hate their fans, even though I literally never said anything bad about any of those things. And then they all turned on him and they said, oh, God, this guy can't coach at all. You know what? So they're a little too patient.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think at A&M, you deserve a little bit of time. But no, I don't think you could just say across the board 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a perfect example. This guy right here, Shane. This guy right here. Okay, the DeBoer. If we shit to bed again, year two, take it over. Again, he's not the greatest. I get it. He's not the GOAT. But if we, let's say we miss the playoff again, let's say we go 9-3 again.
Yeah.
Or 8-4. I'd fire his ass. I mean, we just can't have this. I mean, we're backsliding. This was the greatest dynasty in college football history, in my opinion, or at least modern history. And to miss the playoff in an expanded format 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
No, his ass got to go. So it really just depends on the situation.
So no leeway. I mean, 9 wins wasn't enough for SEC Mike. You got it's playoff or bust down there in Bama. That's where you're at right now, you think?
How could it not be?
What if it's barely missed like we did last year? You know, they could get in, depends on the committee, blah, blah, blah. Is it one of those, or is it like they went 8-4, their ass ain't going? Like that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, get us a qualified coach. I can get this done. I mean, this guy is not going to cut it if he misses a playoff 2 years in a row. Nick Saban, he never missed it 2 years in a row.
I get it. I totally get it. And I feel like there's half the cousins in this group right here can pull off a 9-3. You know what I'm saying? And Bama. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm just curious what you thought, because I think the standards, that's the problem. You can lose standards real quick. Look at Florida, where they were and where they're at. It's like if you don't capitalize and you don't make quick movements, then all of a sudden you're facing, you know, the hot seat talk every single season.
Right. All right. So number 9, now we're getting into, again, will these guys get fired immediately?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I think they're going to get fired potentially this year if they drop this game. Let's see. Shane's favorite here. I wish I could throw two schedules up at once, but we're going Florida, Shane. And this applies to both the coaches. So I'm not just calling out Billy Napier, but I'm calling out September 13th, LSU hosting Florida.
Ooh.
Now, again, can Billy Napier, he's already proven he can kind of survive a slow start.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly, kind of, I guess, has proven it. Not, I mean, he loses week one every damn year.
Uh-huh.
I think if he's losing to Florida at home, I think it means he's probably already got his ass kicked at Clemson. And I don't think he survives the year. Same thing for Billy Napier. Again, can they drop this game? It's on the road. Let's say they bounce back, beat Miami, and beat, I don't know, A&M. You know, and we're sitting here at 4-2. They ain't going to fire him for that. But I'm just saying, if you're not beating LSU, which you beat him last year.
Yeah.
I think we might be backsliding here. So it's more the hot seat for Brian Kelly, but I think it could apply to old Billy Napier as well. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Because remember how angry Florida fans, how angry a lot of fans were when they got destroyed by Miami week one. You know, it's like they took the wind right out of the sails. And that's important because Florida, if they have anything right now, it's momentum. They ended the season strong. Yes, they're going to get all the accolades here in the offseason. They're getting the hot train going, and you derail that week three, you better damn believe they're going to take some of that Disney money and they're going to find him an exit. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. I've been trying to fire Billy for 3 years now, so I can't argue with this. But again, the Florida Gators, if they really are special this year, they don't lose to LSU. They don't lose to Miami. Yeah. You know, they don't lose to A&M. If this truly is a top 10 Florida team, those are the games you got to win, and it all starts with them LSU Tigers. So I am right there with you, Mike.
And the storylines galore too. If you, I'm sure Florida fans and LSU fans all remember this, but Napier was at Louisiana, right?
Yeah,
he was kicking ass down there. The LSU job was open. He wanted it. They didn't even consider his ass, and everybody thought it was because they were getting Lincoln Riley. Of course, it was because they were getting Brian Kelly. But you know this. He's an opportunity to kind of put a stake in old Brian Kelly. And
yeah,
if Brian Kelly, if he starts the year 1-2,
yeah,
good luck. You know what?
Absolutely.
They may be trying to steal him. They might be trying to steal Billy Napier away from Florida.
Is that what they're doing? They're playing the long game.
All right. How about this one, Shane? We've kind of talked about this recently and it's just kind of hit me how big this game is, Shane. Now there's a couple to potentially pick from. So I'm going, this will not be the last Oklahoma, but I'm saying week two, Shane, Michigan at Oklahoma, September 6th, all this hype with John Mateer and a new offense and Oklahoma winning the offseason, which I have said, I think they're winning the offseason.
Yeah.
All that goes in damn smoke, if you ask me. Now, can they rebound from losing week two? Certainly. And, you know, if you lose to Michigan and let's say you go 6-2 in the SEC, the guy may be coach of the year. But yes, if he's losing to Michigan week two, buddy, I think the backslide begins and we're going to be wondering how quickly could we get Venables out of here?
You know, it's funny. I feel like, and it's, I like that you've put these two teams together because Florida and Oklahoma, I view similar right now. And the reason I say that, you know, Florida had the momentum off on the field. Oklahoma had the momentum off the field. You know, it started with the GM and now we've got a new quarterback, new running back. You know, it's like we're getting all excited about what could happen. And, you know, you cannot afford to lose early. I don't think because people, you know, you want to build something special in Oklahoma. Well, it requires everybody wanting to build Oklahoma. If the fans don't want to build it, the boosters don't want to build it, they want to get a new coach, then all of a sudden you're going to have trouble on the recruiting trail. You're going to have trouble getting back to the top of that mountain. So, yeah, Michigan early, any of those early games could really hurt Venables, in my opinion. I think you've got to come unscathed the first month.
And you, again, it's not finalized. So we don't follow Michigan that well, but, you know, they just signed a top freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
The assumption is, you know, apparently they paid him allegedly about $12 million. It's hard for me to imagine they paid a guy $12 million to sit on the bench. And I don't think they have a quarterback. So it'll likely be against a true freshman. You know, worst thing for Venables is he comes in and he's second coming of Johnny Manziel or something, you know, because you're the defensive guru, right? You got to slow this guy down. So I think it sets up well for Oklahoma. I'm not predicting Michigan's going to go to Norman and win, but the fact that you're facing a freshman on the road, his first road game, I think that, again, it adds pressure.
Yeah.
But it also sets up well for Oklahoma to get that win, but it'll be even that much more disappointing if they don't get it done.
It really will. And it felt like, you know, forget what you say about Jackson. It just felt like a lot of stuff they lost last year, mainly in the portal, felt like a scapegoat. Like that was our problem. The problem's not here. The problem is gone. We've got a fresh start. We got a new guy. And if we have the same style product that we saw the first 3 weeks last year, brother, that man may not make it. He may not make it four games. You know what I'm saying? Because they ain't going to put up with it over Norman.
Hey, Suplex here. Suplexes. Tennessee fans may not want Venables to fail. How soon do we start hypo to Oklahoma rumors all over again?
Well, let's see. Let's get them past Syracuse first, and then we'll.
You may be sending his ass to Norman, huh? All right, how about this one, Shay? Number 7 on the list. Mississippi State.
All of them.
How could that? Mississippi State. How could it? Arkansas, November 1st. I don't know. Again, this may be one, Shane, where the losing coach gets fired the next day. You know what I mean? Like, certainly not a given. Arkansas, you got a bye week after it. That is usually the time when they let someone go, but same deal for Mississippi State. If you're going potentially winless in the car, I mean, if they're losing to all these teams, and then after Arkansas, they got Georgia at home, they got at Missouri, and then they get the Egg Bowl at home. Again, I don't know how much Jeff Lebby is truly on the hot seat, but if he goes 0-8 in the SEC 2 years in a row, how in the hell can you bring him back?
3.5. Just the over and under should get you fired right now. Year two. Just the fact 3.5, none of those going to be in SEC. Yeah, I feel like when you look the schedule, you're finding the game, or if not two, that you're going to sneak up and get. And I think if you were to poll Mississippi State fans, Sven's on here, I'd ask him, you know, which SEC game do you expect to win, or do you think you have the best shot at winning? And I think November 1st is going to be that game. And if that's the one you can't get, then all of a sudden, what are you going to get against the Bulldogs? You're going to get against Ole Miss? Yeah, I don't think so. I believe the wheels would stop, you know, start falling off at that point. I think they would, because if you can't win one SEC game, you may not win the four non-conference games. So there's a lot on this schedule here that I really think would put Lebby on the hottest of hot seats. But that one, I think, could be the icing on the cake, if you will.
And for
that
Arkansas, I think they're going to be an underdog. This could all change, right? But I think they'll be an underdog in every conference game up to this point. At Ole Miss, certainly. At Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You'd favor Tennessee, even though they beat Tennessee 4 in a row. A&M at home. Auburn at home. Maybe that Auburn one, maybe Arkansas's favorite, but I still think Auburn. Am I wrong? I mean, Arkansas is going to be underdog in all these conference games until Mississippi State.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they will. Absolutely. I don't like all this Tennessee talk. I don't know why we keep bringing that up in the comments. Let's leave the Vols out of this. What do they do to you? Just because I'm big Orange Vols, don't mean we have to bring them up every time.
All right, number 6 on the list, Shane. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one, Shane. I like this more than you. I don't even think you think this guy's. I think you think this guy's going to win coach of the damn year. I'm going to say get his ass out of here by week 2 if he loses,
Auburn,
Shane.
Auburn Tigers. Yeah.
Baylor, opening the season, hosting Auburn. And I can't believe no one else has latched on to this. I hope this is why the cousins watch this show, Shane, because I said Friday. That's trouble. That's trouble for Hugh Freeze. Because if this was Saturday, this would just get lost in the shuffle. You lose a game like this. Again, I'm not sitting here saying Auburn's going to lose it. To my knowledge, I believe they're a slight favorite. I think they're like a 2.5-3 point favorite. But if you lose that on Friday, Shane, and there's no other big time games, we got 12 hours of everybody and their mother. There's no NFL on. There's nothing on. There's Auburn and there's Baylor. And if you go on the road, especially if you get embarrassed, let's say you lose by 10 or more. God, I mean, no, they're not going to fire him the next day, but they probably should.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You've been wanting to fire since he showed back up over here. Now I definitely think the problem, Mike, is last season, you know, you can't hide from that, how bad Auburn was at times. And, you know, it was the attention that was brought upon the university after some of those losses. It wasn't like 5-7 was the worst that I've ever seen, because there were some games that were kind of close here.
Yeah.
But it's what was said after that kind of put that target on Hugh Freeze's back, if you will.
Did you hear what he said just this week?
Oh, God, no. What'd he say?
He's something to the effect of, you know, this is year three. Auburn fans should expect to go to a bowl game. Like
a bowl game? Yeah.
Of course. I mean, they should expect that year one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is that in his contract or something? Like, win six and you're good, Hugh. No. The expectation should be higher than that. And I think they will be. I don't know what that magic number is for. And again, I don't think Freeze is technically on a hot seat. Even if he lost to Baylor, I just feel like it would unravel a little bit on what he's trying to create there. Because mm-hmm. Baylor's a big game. Baylor, the thing with Baylor is when everybody's watching them Friday, every single SEC homer out there is going to say, well, Baylor sucks. You know, this ain't the Baylor we watched growing up. This Auburn should smoke these guys. And if they don't, then all of a sudden I feel like that momentum, that negative energy picks up. And again, that's cancer. It's cancer in the locker rooms. That's cancers in the fan base. And right now it's something that Hugh can't afford to do. So yeah, I think this is a great, great pick.
All right. Here's what I think. It's off the wall. I don't think anyone's looking at this as a hot seat game, Shane.
Yeah.
But I think it is. I think, and quite frankly, I think it is for both the coaches, Shane. Now, don't laugh, because I'm going to throw up Kentucky's schedule here. But how about this, Shane? For years and years, again, you say what you want against Mark Stoops. I've been calling him a C coach for 8 years, feels like.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that man can hang his hat on, he's whooping Florida's ass, right?
Yeah.
If they lose to Florida, which again, I think Florida's going to be good, so they probably will lose to Florida. But if they lose to Florida at home, what in the hell's he got to hang his hat on? I mean, if they're losing to Florida, I think they are probably 0-7 in the SEC. I don't know how you're bringing this man back. And the same thing, especially for old Billy Napier, because this is after Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia probably just beat us. If we're losing to Kentucky, we're losing to Kentucky. Now we got to round out. We got to go to Oxford. We got Tennessee. We got Florida State. And thank you, Carolina Jackpot. Florida drilled them last year. But the 2 years before that, Kentucky drilled them. So that's another point why I think this is such a critical game for Billy Napier. You beat them last year, 48-20. You can't turn around the next year and then lose to that team and say, hey, we're gaining momentum. I mean, Kentucky is supposed to be so far in the rearview mirror for Florida. Mm-hmm. I think it's a must win for both these coaches.
I think you try to bring up Florida like I try to bring up Hendon Hooker every time. And we can be talking about breakfast tomorrow and somehow Billy Napier is going to come up. I will say this about Kentucky. When you look at that schedule, I do think Florida could be a hot seat game. But honestly, for me, Mike, it's the first Toledo, Eastern Michigan. These, yeah. I know it sounds dumb. And you think if I told you 5 years ago that that's going to be a ballgame, you would have called me crazy. But I think Ole Miss could be a loss. And if you lose a Toledo or an Eastern Michigan on top of that, Mike, one and two. And we're hitting a bye week before South Carolina, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, Auburn, Florida. Yes, I believe that's your problem right there. May not make Florida.
Well, see, I knew you were going to be negative. Tennessee in you. So, they're going to kick the shit out of Toledo and Eastern Michigan. All the people like us talking bad about them.
Yeah.
That's going to galvanize them, Shane. It really is. And hell, they're going to be underdogs against Ole Miss, no doubt.
Yeah.
But they should have confidence that they could play with Ole Miss with 8 more NFL draft picks. Mm-hmm. Why can't they play with this Ole Miss starting a new quarterback? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's on the road. But again, no. It's at home. It's at home. So they should have all the confidence in the world. I'm not saying they're going to beat Ole Miss, but they should have confidence they could beat them. They're beating him, Shane. I predicted it right now. Mark Stoops is back, and then he's going to lose to Florida, and then he's going to get fired.
I'll drink a whole bottle of. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, Shane, man, I don't know why, but we have found so many Ohio State fans. We know why. This offseason, shout out Young. He gave us $5. Go Buckeyes. Love the show, guys. Appreciate you guys keeping me up to date on SEC ball.
He gave more, but he has to donate to their NIL up there.
Or as Jet Jones says, Ryan Day, where's eyeliner? Maybe he's got some eyeliner up there too. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. It's too soon for Buckeyes, man. Yeah, you know, I watched last two SEC games was not pleasant.
Wait, so that whole thing though, you didn't hit on Billy Napier of Florida. So you think Billy Napier could survive losing to Kentucky?
No, I thought we talked LSU with Florida, but. I
mean, if they're losing to Kentucky,
but Mike, I think
what's the record going to be?
That's not fair. That's also saying I believe Mississippi State. You know, I think you could put Mississippi State in there. I'm not saying they're the same, but they're not far. They're not far from each other. And I'm not comparing Kentucky to a non-conference. You know, what is that? New Jersey. Buffaloes, whatever. What are they called?
I'm looking it up right now. I mean, I think you're way off base comparing this to all those because Kentucky has beaten Florida, Shane, 3 out of the last 4 years. It's not the same as Mississippi State or South Florida or Long Island.
Absolutely killed Kentucky last year. So I don't think Florida beating Kentucky is just like the nail in the coffin for Coach Stoops. Could it be for Napier? Absolutely. But, you know, there's so many landmarks. That's the problem is there's tiers to this. I believe that there's actual coaches that are on the hottest of hot seats. And nobody wants to talk about Billy Napier because now he's a top 10 guy or whatever. But let's don't bullshit each other. You know, this is a guy that has underwhelmed since he's been down there in Gainesville. Yeah. But you put Pittman in there. You put, I think, Lebby in there. Those for me, that's like tier A, and then you got your Stoops and your next rounds, if you will. So it's not fair for me to say one's the same as the other, because I think Coach Stoop has a little more flexibility with his losses. A Florida loss, I don't think gets him fired, but a Eastern Michigan loss gets you fired. They're going to, because it's early in the season. So that's kind of where I'm at now. Billy, on the other hand, he loses to Florida. You lose to Mississippi State. You lose to maybe A&M. I don't know. You lose some of these games. LSU puts you on the spot. There's a lot more landmines, I feel like, on Florida's schedule because, again, the standards are a little bit higher coming into 2025 for some reason.
I think Florida, if they go like 6-6.
Yeah.
I think they'll fire Billy. I mean, this is crazy. Yeah. We're sitting here like, well, 6-6, year four. They'll have some momentum. You know what I mean? Like this is Florida Gators, Shane.
Yes.
This was when we were growing up. This was a top three, maybe like even better than that program in this conference. I know Urban Meyer's a scumbag, but multiple national champions. Steve Spurrier won a national championship. This is supposed to be championships or bust, not year four. We deserve a bowl game. You know what I mean? This is crazy talk.
No, I totally agree. And you know, if you pull up Florida's schedule last year, and I'm not piling on them, but since it's been brought up here, you know, I felt like the Ole Miss was a great win.
Yeah, right?
That was probably the biggest win. Mm-hmm. But the LSU, I could question, you know, there were some storylines coming into that one. There were some injuries. There were some, you know, I don't feel like we saw the best LSU game. It wasn't the best Florida game, in my opinion. Florida State. Oh my gosh! They went two games last year, so let's don't give them that one. And then Tulane, even though they've had a fantastic season, they're playing in the Gasparilla Bowl. So yeah, I feel like sometimes those last four games would kind of put a little too high up on the pedestal. You know what I'm saying?
You just won't give them Gators credit for nothing, Jake. Come on.
You're probably right. You're probably
right. All right, number four. Oh, now this is. Again, we could. This is what I was kidding with Georgia and Austin Peay. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, these crazy upsets, they'll cost you. And I do think this would be a huge upset, but I don't think it's super unrealistic. It's the only one I put on here like this, Shane. Who do you think I'm talking about? and we're talking Arkansas. I think if you lose this game, I think you got to fire the coach immediately.
Immediately.
I don't think.
And we're not talking about any of these non-conference games, right?
No, this I am.
Oh, you are? Then that'd be Butch Jones, September 6th.
Bingo. Arkansas yeah. State. You refuse to play them for 100 years. I believe this is the first time they've ever played. You're getting them finally, and there's no coming back. You lose everybody if you lose this game.
Yeah.
Now, you could beat this team by 100. You could still lose your job this year.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because there's so many other difficult games. And I'm not predicting it. I don't want it to happen, but I'm just saying I think this is one where brick by brick, man, this may be their Super Bowl. But you know, who knows? So, yeah, it could be a four turnover game, you know, whatever you want to come away with. Again, I think Arkansas is gonna beat the shit out of Arkansas State. But if they don't, then we gotta blow this thing up.
Yep. And I shouldn't use that name. It's Lyle Jones. It's been a long time since we saw his dumb face on TV. And if it's celebrating on the sideline, I don't think I can handle it, Mike. I don't think I can. I would personally walk down, as much as I love Sam, I say, brother, you got to go. There's no reason you should lose to that man.
Yep. All right. Number three. Now, buddy, we're getting heated. We don't cover one of these teams, but we're just really focusing on the SEC team.
Yeah.
But I think it applies to the opponent as well. Who do you want to take a wild stab here?
Alabama and Vanderbilt again? No, just kidding. Oklahoma, maybe? I don't know.
No, we cover Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, Shane. Florida State, week one. I think Bama should beat the hell out of this team. I know it's on the road, but how do you make any sort of Florida State? They had a case to go to the playoff. They were undefeated. And then the next year they go 2-10. They blow it up. They bring in new coordinators, including our old buddy, Shane. I don't know if you knew this or not. Gus Malzahn is a head coach, or not the head coach, the offensive coordinator now at Florida State. They added the quarterback from Boston College, Castellanos, I think his name was.
Yeah.
I just saw him last year play Missouri, and he looked pretty solid to me. So, I mean, this is going to be a completely new look Florida State, but I don't care if they're bringing back 10 Tim Tebows and 10 Joe Burrows. You can't lose this damn game if you're Alabama. You cannot lose to Florida State. I think you lose this one. They're not going to immediately turn around and fire Kalen DeBoer, but I bet you they'll fire his ass by the end of the year.
It'd be tough to argue that one, you know, because again, the Florida State was such a joke last season.
Yeah.
That we're going to continue that role into 2025. And if Bama loses, then all of a sudden they become that joke. So can't afford that one. This is one that you got to jump on them quick and often. And I think you just got to, not just barely win either. This is one that if Bama's truly back, well, then beat them by three scores. I feel like that's what we got to see.
Oh, and I think they will.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But again, if they don't,
then fire him.
we're going to fire up an emergency podcast. I'm going to fire his ass on the spot.
You know what? Decaying dynasty is at it again.
Now, one more. Alabama. Again, buddy, Kalen DeBoer, I think he's got to win at a high level, Shane. Because there's another one. Same deal. I think both these coaches probably need to win this game, perhaps to save their job by the end of the season. We've talked about this game a whole lot this year, Shane. Alabama at home. Who do you think I'm talking about?
I don't know. Last time you made fun of me when I said one, so I ain't going to say one. Who you got?
LSU. Well, because yeah. We said it where if you lose this game, you're probably not making the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
We've already thrown Kalen DeBoer to the side of the road with the rest of the trash if they don't make the playoff, right? So if you're losing at home to LSU, I don't think you're making the playoff. And LSU, I think you could lose this game because it's on the road and still potentially make it, but it's going to be tough. Particularly with everybody and their mother, Shane, telling us Clemson's God's gift to football now. I mean, yeah. they could, you know, they got beat by South Carolina at home last year. I didn't realize that was the juggernaut of all juggernauts in college football. But that's what all these media people are saying. So LSU, you probably can't afford to lose Alabama. Alabama, I don't think you can afford to lose LSU. I think that's a damn hot seat game. And again, is the coach going to get fired the next day? Probably not. But I think they could get fired by the end of the season.
Yeah. And for me, again, I don't feel like that he's anywhere near the hot seat. But if it were to happen, I feel like it's got to be early in the year on some of the teams you touched on. LSU may be the game you get fired in, but it was because of mistakes you made in September, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. So it's an accumulation of failures. You know what I mean?
That's right. And because if it's just LSU, I think you're fine. But if it's a couple and then, like, you know what I'm saying, the pile driver.
All right, number one, Shane. Oh, buddy. I feel like we're going to be talking about this game until it happens. I don't think this is another one. I think the losing coach, probably not going to get fired the next day.
Yeah.
Although maybe they should be. But they will not make it till the end of the season, whoever loses this game. Oklahoma's one of the teams. What's one they simply have to win, as does the opponent, you think, to have a really good year?
To have a really good year.
Or just a good year, really.
Shane Beamer, South Carolina. I feel like that's a must win.
Right, but we're not firing Shane Beamer, right, if he loses, are we?
Well, I'm looking at this. Honestly, I don't see, other than Auburn, which are you talking
about? Bingo! You nailed it. Auburn, Shane.
I didn't know we were going back to Hugh Freeze here. he got two spots on the show.
Hey, so did Venables. Venables, you cannot lose, particularly Venables can't, because it's at home. It's Jackson Arnold. All that, you know, all this hype, all this John Mateer's preseason favorite to win the Heisman, yada, yada, yada. Your old quarterback comes to town and whoops your ass. Mm-hmm. You're dead. You're dead to me. You know what I mean? Unless you turn around and win every game, which how in the hell are you going to beat Texas at South Carolina, at Tennessee, at Alabama, if you're losing to freaking Auburn? I don't see it. Same thing for old Hugh. I mean, this is like your fourth or fifth most difficult game, I think, and I think Oklahoma's going to be really good. But I think, you know, Alabama and Georgia are probably better.
Yeah.
I think, you know, at A&M is going to be equally as hard. I mean, there's just so many difficult games. If you're losing to that one right out the gate, I don't think that you're going to go very far. Whoever loses this game, they're getting fired by the end of the year.
Mike Andrews says, kick you Freeze's ass, take two.
Am I wrong, Shane?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And I just want to clarify, if you bring up that schedule one more time, and we're Auburn's? Talking about, no, Oklahoma's. Okay. I've already talked about Auburn. But if you bring up Oklahoma's schedule, you asked which one. And so I rolled out Hugh Freeze because we already talked about him. And then I was like, well, it ain't Texas. It ain't South Carolina. It ain't Lane Kiffin. Or like, I'm thinking which coach would be on the hot seat? Maybe LSU. I mean, truthfully, that could be one, you know, as far as Coach Kelly's concerned. Bad, you know, especially if they miss the playoffs. And then all of a sudden you miss your rivalry game on November 29th. That could be one of them. But the reason I brought him up is you're like, has to make the season. And I feel like that Oklahoma South Carolina game is very pivotal because these are two teams that are going to have a tough year. And I think that's the game that decides if you had a pretty good season or a bad one. So again, I'm not saying Beamer gets fired. I feel like that's a crucial game for both teams. But I definitely get what you're saying about Hugh Freeze I don't think he's on the hot seat as much as you do, but you drop some of those early games, then absolutely you put him on there, especially if it's the quarterback that used to be in Oklahoma, you know, all the storylines, I can hear them now.
Yeah, no doubt. So, any games, I know we just, you know, I'm throwing this at you last minute here, but any games or any coaches that you're sitting here like, wow, I'm surprised that didn't get mentioned. Because there's a lot of coaches I don't even think are anywhere close to the hot seat. So they couldn't really be mentioned on a list like this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, you know, I just talked about some of those guys. I can't see a scenario short of, like I was saying earlier, a 2-10 season. I think DeBoer's safe. You don't. I think Kirby's safe. I think Heupel's safe. Sarkisian clearly safe. Lane Kiffin's safe. Those are the teams that we've not mentioned. Drink. I believe Drink is safe as well. But I don't think of anyone else. Shane Beamer, South Carolina, maybe the closest one. And even then, it's crazy. There's no way they get rid of him, you know, but if they have a bad season, you know, it may do something going into 26.
You know, I thought this man was about to fire us, Shane.
Oh, JR, he's legend, back.
Cousin JR has done it again.
JR with a late buzzer shot, Shane. He just gifted ZG and Brock Schaefer.
Welcome to the family.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Thank you, JR. What a legend he is. You know what?
Yeah, I like this. Steve it up. You know who's not on the hot seat? JR. he's the only one that shows up late and Mike doesn't give a hard time to, you know?
Well, he says he's down at the beach. So, JR, I hope you're enjoying your beach vacation.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
Yeah. all right. Anything else, Shane? We didn't quite go an hour on this one, but slow time of the year. You know what?
Yeah, no, we got some great stuff coming up. Wonderful interviews that are already posted on the YouTube channel, so be sure to check that one out. Again, Mike can't give away, but I will tell you, you're going to absolutely love when Steven does show back up. You guys are going to love that show, so be sure to have those notifications on. Thumbs up, everybody. Again, just a second, just minimize. You're already cashing out as it is. Hit that thumbs out on your way out. It does help us out tremendously. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and Shane's going to – we're cutting this one short because Shane told me he's going straight to bed so he can wake up and hit the links again.
That's right. Yeah, and if you're really bored, go on over to SEC Cousin Shane. I just posted a new birdie or bogey, and this could be the one, Mike. This absolutely could be the one.
Yeah. All right.
Most likely not.
All right, buddy. Till next time, we appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.